Turn to Psalm 23, please. This is kind of a rare moment because Greg not being here, I was talking to Stephanie earlier, in his 25 years of pastoring, whatever, he maybe has missed once or twice in all of those years. So this is extremely rare for him not to be here. So maybe there's a reason. God has a reason for things, doesn't he? And to cause Greg to be ill at this point in time, maybe it's just to give him some rest, needed rest before Israel, before the move, before the end of the year, all the hot, so many things coming. So maybe sometimes the Lord just has a way of slowing us down, doesn't he? And saying, take a break. we've got this. This is the Lord's church. And we're going to carry on, right? But let's pray for our brother. Let's pray for him again, okay? Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do lift up Greg. And our heart breaks because he's suffering. He's hurting, Lord. And we just pray in the name of Jesus, like Kenny prayed, God, that you do touch and heal him perfectly. God, just renew his strength. Bless Stephanie. Help her to just wife her husband through this time, God, and let their time together be sweet as they prepare for the days ahead, Lord. So touch and heal our brother again, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, welcome. Here in Psalm 23, we're just going to look at verse 1. This is going to be really simple, but it's profound because David, King David, who wrote this, was a shepherd himself. And you know the verse, you know it by heart, I'm sure. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? Very simple. But I was thinking about David when he was writing this, how the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this, how the Holy Spirit inspired so many other writers throughout the Old and New Testament to write what they did and give us the Bible that's on your lap right now. And how profound must that have been when the word came from the Holy Spirit to write it down, like the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all those men who, when it says, and the Lord came to Jeremiah, or when the Lord came to Isaiah, whomever, and then they wrote it down. What was that like for them to have the word of God flowing through them to actually literally write it down? How powerful that moment must have been. And for David to write, the Lord is my shepherd, knowing in his mind, in his past, he was a shepherd. And knowing that he needed a shepherd, we all need a shepherd. And the humbling thing that we're going to look into this morning is that when you know you need a shepherd, what follows is we have to admit that we are all sheep, right? And when you consider what a little lamb is or what a sheep is in and of itself, it's not the brightest animal in the world. And it is humbling to say, I'm just a sheep and I need a shepherd. Because here is King David. He's king. He's the man in charge. And he has this past and present and future. He's in God's hands. He's in control. Everybody loves him, but he's just a sheep in need of a shepherd. If only our leaders today could take on that kind of humility and to be able to say, I'm just a sheep. I need a shepherd. And there's someone bigger than me, and there's someone who has wisdom greater than me. How humbling is that? But when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. Amen? And so when you are able to get yourself into that place, you're able to say, there's a God who loves me, who sent his son for me to save me. And he has a plan for me. And that's so comforting, isn't it? So let's look at this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In this psalm, it's dramatic, really, on how this word came to David and the act of love, the acts, the multiple acts of love that are represented here in the whole psalm. Because he says further in the psalm, he makes me to lie down, he leads me, he restores me, he's with me, he comforts me, he anoints my head. He follows me and he gives me eternity for the rest of my life in his house. He loves me so much in all of these ways. Why wouldn't I want him to be my shepherd? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. There's no lack in my life. He directs my path. So when you have that order in your life, you have peace that follows that order. When things get out of order, it's usually because somewhere along the line we got off track. Somewhere along the line we fell out of the word or worship or fellowship. And whenever we do that, like sheep, and we go astray, he leads us back because he loves us. And he wants to hold us close, but we have to stay close. We still have free will. We can still be stubborn sheep and wander off. But when we sense his calling, we sense that longing, when the Holy Spirit's saying, son, daughter, come back. I love you. Let me love you through this difficult time. Don't give up. Never give up. And don't give up on God. He will never leave you or forsake you. Well, I can't hear him. Read the word out loud and you'll hear him. He is closer than a friend. And that closeness is what keeps us going. It's that reassurance. It's why we get together. We get together once a week physically and in our home fellowships during the week to remind each other how much he loves us. Don't fall out of fellowship. Don't feel like a sheep that has to, well, I can figure out this life on my own and then the wolf is waiting. Don't let that happen. Stay in fellowship. Whether it's this church or another church, make sure you're getting fed the word of God. In survival training, they teach that you can make it 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 hours without shelter from extreme conditions, 3 minutes without air, but you can't last 3 seconds without hope. Jesus is our only hope. And we know that. This body knows that. And that's the message to a world that's looking for love in all the wrong places. And as they do that, especially if it's people who are close to us, family and friends that are striving and groping in the darkness, trying to figure out what life's all about, we can point to Jesus every time because he's our hope. He's our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. So let's look at this one verse in three parts. First, the Lord. He's our Father. He's Jehovah, the existing one. That's the proper name of the one true God, Jehovah. Yahweh, the tetragrammaton is what they say. It's the unpronounceable YHWH, the name Jehovah was just added just so we could pronounce it. Yahweh, Jehovah. It's not traditionally the Hebrews, after the original scriptures, stopped writing the name of God. They, by misinterpretation or maybe superstition, they just felt it wasn't appropriate to write the name of God. And you'll still see that in Hebrew writings today. But we are called to embrace the name of Yahweh. He's our God. He's our Father. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And you go to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all have to stop right there and say, do I believe this? Because the world, for the most part, doesn't. The world teaches earth came about some other way. And they're still trying to figure it out. But we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Jehovah God. He's creator. And he has a plan for all of mankind. And yet we were separated from him by sin. But he's our redeemer. He restored that relationship with the Father through the cross. And through that cross, now we have access. We have access to the Father through prayer. What a blessing that we can come to the Father in prayer with our hearts, with our needs, with our wants even, to know his way. And that is so reassuring. Never ever take for granted the power of prayer because God answers prayer. We invite you to join us at 7:25. 7:25, wow. I'm still on the wrong time. 9:25 in the prayer room. You're welcome to join us. When you look at the names of God in the Bible, it reveals his character. Let me read this list to you of the names of God. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, the Most High God. Adonai, Lord and Master. Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner. Jehovah Ra'a, the Lord, my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. That's who Greg needs this morning. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Mikodeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. El Olam, the everlasting God. Elohim, God. Kana, the jealous God. That's from Exodus 25. He's a jealous God because he won't bear any rivals, have no idols. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. So when you just look at the names of God, again, it reveals his character, his power, his holiness, his loving kindness, his tender mercies, his healing power, all that he does and all that he is. Secondly, the Lord is my shepherd, but secondly, the shepherd is the Son, Jesus, the Son, the head of the church, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, our good shepherd who humbled himself. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Almighty God came as a man, focused on the cross to save us of our sins, to reestablish that relationship that we can have with the Father. But still, we are sheep, and we can be stubborn, and we can get set in our ways. And he gave us a free will to choose whether or not we believe this. Britannica says, "Sheep are basically timid animals who tend to graze in flocks and are almost totally lacking in protection from predators." And that's us. We are totally lacking from a predator, from an enemy who hates us and wants to devour us. That should terrify us alone, spiritually. But we have a shepherd who loves us. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And when you take that to heart, you know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, because he will get us through this, whatever it might be. And if you're being attacked right now, spiritually, you know you can come to God in prayer and he will restore your soul. He'll remind you of what he did for you on the cross. He will bring all your thoughts into captivity. So don't let your condition, our condition as sheep, as that are, again, prone to wander, don't let that frustrate you. You know, as we age, I thought that maybe this walk as a Christian would get easier. Far from it. That perhaps we would sin less, that my mind would become maybe purer, that, you know, I'd become more holy. But it doesn't seem to happen that way. And in all honesty, it's good in that I am more reliant, I think, upon the Lord now than ever. And I think as long as we can humble ourselves and admit that, you know, I've been in the Word and a believer for a few decades now, and it's still unlimited on how much God loves us. This Word of God is eternal. I will never know all of it. I will never be able to master it. I just pray it can master me. And as I work out my salvation as I walk with the Lord, as I'm able to acknowledge I'm just a sheep in need of a shepherd, it is comforting because when you say, Lord, I have nothing to offer. Look at the program for a second. You see this blank page? Okay, this is all I have to offer. I looked at that this morning going, okay, is that my mind right now? What are you saying, Greg? This is what Brad has to offer. Because normally he has his notes in there, right? And this is what Brad has to offer today. So I took that very personally. But then I looked at him going, okay, yeah, this is me in Christ, a clean slate, sinless. He doesn't, because of the blood of Jesus, he doesn't see my sins. I'm white as snow. Praise the Lord. I'm going, so, you know, an optimist will look at that going, okay, it's not empty. It's filled with Jesus, right? So my first reaction was in the flesh, like, oh, thanks a lot, Greg. But now I can, like, okay, I can spiritualize that. Is that okay? But, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm empty. When I'm struggling, when I am in desperate need, I can say, Lord, fill me. I'm empty. I'm at the end of my rope. And I don't know where to turn. How many times have we been in that place? And how faithful is he to say, yes, son, yes, daughter, I will fill you. I'll fill you with my spirit. I'll fill you with my word. I'll fill you with hope of a future that is filled with good things, like Faith just saying, right? And it's those good things. And when they're of the Lord, they're pure and they're good and they're meaningful. In the world, you know, you fill that emptiness with all the wrong things, and that's all they are. They're vain. It's all vanity, meaningless, like Ecclesiastes, right? And then you're constantly seeking for more, and it never fulfills. But in Christ, it's that fulfillment you can hold on to with all your heart. And it's hard to explain it to a non-believer, isn't it? It's hard to say, this is my God. This is my Jesus. This is the lover of my soul. And this is the one who comforts me in the middle of the night, in my time of need, when I'm asking him all these questions. Why? What if? And he goes, son, daughter, Brad, just let go and let God trust me. And I will fill you. Let me shepherd you through this. And when he does that, it is so comforting. John the Baptist said regarding Jesus in John chapter 1, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist saw Jesus as the Passover lamb, like Greg has taught here so many times. And as the Passover lamb, he was the lamb to be slain for our sins. Matthew 2:6, quoting Micah 5:2, says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's Jesus, our Messiah. Jesus is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 4 and 14 through 16, Jesus, talking about himself, says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. Don't take him for granted. See him that way. See yourself as a sheep in need of a shepherd that needs to hear his still small voice, even in the troubles of life, the busyness of life. We can get so busy, can't we? Just in our day-to-day stuff. So many times I've counseled with people, and one of my first questions, you know, how's your prayer life? Are you in the Word every day? Are you in fellowship? Do you attend a church? You know, it's usually no, 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 no. It's like, well, I used to, or I got too busy, right? This life is crazy. I've got all this stuff at home, or my job, my career. So many things compete for our attention to God. And when we do that, like sheep, we can go astray. We have to be really, really careful to not let just the everyday life get in the way of our fellowship with the Lord. That's what it means. He's our Savior, but He's also our Lord. That means every day. You've got to be in the Word every day. There's no shortcuts. You eat food every day, you got to eat spiritual food every day. You've got to feed your soul every day. That's why we're in a good Bible teaching church. We are so blessed here. Amen? Amen. I love Greg's teaching. I don't know if you guys, but when I sit there and I listen to him, I don't want it to end. Because it's so rich. It's a six-course meal. And it's, this is being recorded, so I'm trying to score points with Greg. But it's, I sit there and I just don't want it to end because I love it so much. We're so well fed here. And as we're well fed here, you take this, this is what Greg would say, take it back out with you, okay? And learn to love on your fellow man. That's when the Word is working. That's when God is moving, and that's what we're praying for, in an awakening and a revival that is based on the Word of God and God's love for all of us. But we got to know His voice. We have to admit we're sheep and that we're in need of a shepherd. And like I said, King David, formerly a shepherd, humbly admitted that he was a sheep even as a king. It says in 2 Samuel 5:2, "Also in time past when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in, and the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.'" And again, what a revelation that must have been to David to be able to say, "Wow, I have a shepherd. I'm just a sheep, and I know sheep." Sheep smell. Sheep aren't that bright. But I can know that I have a shepherd who loves me. And thirdly, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. I shall not lack the fulfillment of knowing God, believing Jesus, and being filled by His Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation says, "I have all that I need in Christ, as my Savior, as my loving shepherd." There's an old song that goes, "Your love is all that I need." And when you take that to heart, you won't have any wants. You put your needs above your wants. We're really good at wanting here in this materialistic society of ours. We have all kinds of wants. We can all list them. But when you boil it down, what really are our needs? What are your personal needs? Air, water, food, you know. But most of all, in terms of eternity, we need eternal security, and we have that in Christ. And that's our foundation. That's our strength. That's what keeps us going. That's what helps us to constantly be looking forward. The blessing of being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is we have eternity to look forward to no matter what we go through in this life. Facing tragedy, health problems, your home almost getting burnt, for goodness sakes, for all of those of you that were close to the fires, and really not knowing what's going to happen this afternoon. Tomorrow's promised to no man. And that should strike fear in us. But a healthy fear, a reverence to a God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to save us, to give us that eternal security. He sustains us. He feeds our spirit. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. I shall not hunger spiritually because His Holy Spirit lives in me. And He's the one that strengthens me. So I will never thirst. Jesus said in John 4:14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." What a promise. When you have that fountain of life in you, that's what gives us the boldness we need to face this world and not stray. Jesus also said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." What a promise. And to know that we have an eternal spiritual body waiting for us when we pass through this life into eternity, what a joy. I don't have a death wish, but I joke with myself when I'm on my deathbed and I start thinking about heaven, I'm probably going to be filled with so much adrenaline and I'll probably be perfectly healed and God will give me another few years. Like, oh, man, can I go now? You know, but it's wonderful to think about. Even though eye has not seen, ears not heard, we have no idea what heaven's going to be like. But all of us, most of us anyway, are getting closer to that day. And what a day that will be. And of course, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." What do we fill ourselves with? We got to make sure we fill ourselves with the right things. You know, with the things of God. And I love the things of God. You know, the things of God are pure and good and loving and tender and kind and blessed. You know, but the flesh, the world, the flesh and the devil all want us, you know, to take us away from that and show us something shiny. Like a new car or, you know, or whatever, some new possession that can cause us to get distracted. So we have to be very careful of those things. Stay away from idols and the things that distract us from the things of God. But with God, we're not lacking. And we learn how to be content in that state. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content." Contentedness, I think, is a lifelong pursuit. I have to constantly focus on being content. And that's not settling. That's not settling for less. Contentment is the realization that God loves you. He has a plan for you. Maybe your state isn't perfect. Pastor Greg's state isn't perfect right now, so he has to find contentment in the state he's in. God still loves him. We still love him. Stephanie still loves him. He's still a great guy. But physically, he's hurting. And for whatever reason, God's allowed that. So can he find contentment right now? Can you and I find contentment in the state we are in? What a challenge. You know, that's such a challenge for me, is because, you know, in this life, you want to accomplish something. In this life, you want your life to be meaningful. In this life, you want to know you're loved and you're liked and you're cared for and you have security financially, that you're not going to, you know, end up on the street. But the Lord says, "I'm your shepherd. Let me be your shepherd. You just be my sheep and give me the reins of your life. Let me love you completely." And when he does that, it's so fulfilling. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." That's our security. That's what holds us together. That's what we do when we come together is remind each other that he will never leave us or forsake us. Let's look at Psalm 23:1 now, word by word. The. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord, Creator, Savior, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Lord is, Hebrews 11:6. He who comes to God must believe that he is. We all have to believe in God first. Amen? The Lord is my. This is personal. We have a personal God who loves us personally. The Lord is my shepherd, and he's good to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I know his voice. I know his still small voice. The Lord is my shepherd, I will obey him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. I know how to live his way. That's right living. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He directs my paths. He provides. In conclusion, the Lord, he's our loving Father, our Yahweh. He's my shepherd. That's Jesus loving his sheep, us. I shall not want. That's the Holy Spirit comforting us in our time of need and helping us live this life. So the question today is, are you content? Are you content to know that you're a sheep with a shepherd who loves you and wants to guide and direct your life? And is that humbling moment a moment you can go to in reverence and say, this is my Lord. This is Creator God who loves me, and I need him to be my shepherd. And I need him to shepherd me through this life so I can be content and fulfilled and accomplish everything that he's called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd, and thank you for this life you've given us, Lord, to walk through this life, to know that you love us, to know that you'll never leave us or forsake us, God. And as we walk through this life, God, Lord, I just lift up the needs here, the needs of everyone here today, and I just pray in the name of Jesus that you meet us all where you're at, where we're at, God, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be more loving. Again, we lift up our brother, Greg, and pray you touch and heal him. Lord, we pray for Stephanie. God, we just pray you keep her safe on the way home. And Lord, bless the work of their hands. Thank you for them, God, and bless this church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.